Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. William James said, "Act as if what you do makes a difference. It does." Motivational speaker and author Og Mandino stated, "Always do your best. What you plant now, you will harvest later." Our guest today is a man who is making a difference for the Lord in the lives of many here in these islands and abroad. He's a man who plants good seed, and he has seen great harvest. A testimony of the Lord that will surely encourage you and move you to higher heights, greater things in your life. As usual, I like to pause just for a moment at the beginning of our show just to remind you that the reason we have this show, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Broadcast, is to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that whatever situation, whatever you might be facing today, whatever challenge might be before you, however you might be feeling, whether you're feeling up or down or kind of somewhere in the middle, the Lord loves you and He knows you, and He is here to touch you, to minister to you. And something unique, something special will be given through our time together with our featured guest. Dr. Pete Anderson's background has uniquely enabled him to minister in Hawaii. He graduated from King College in Bristol, Tennessee, served in the United States Army. He received his master's degree in counseling from the University of North Carolina. He even served as a missionary in Mexico. He graduated a lot. He graduated again with a master's degree in divinity from Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, a very prestigious seminary. Pastor Pete and his wife, Martha, moved to Hawaii in 1977, and together they founded Trinity Church Windward in Kailua. In addition, he served as the director of Trinity Christian Counseling Center, and they founded Trinity Christian School, a school that today many, many young people, many families are a part of and are being enriched by the education given there. Pastor Pete also received his doctorate degree from the International Graduate School of Theology. And in 1995, he became the founding pastor of Trinity Church Central Oahu. Anybody who ever drives over the H2 and goes and looks upon that area in Melilani Tech Park before you get to Waiawa, you'll see a cross from a church that's emblazoned and lit up. That's Trinity Church, Central Oahu. You know, it's Pastor Pete's passion to plant churches. Churches in the Hawaiian Islands, to reach the unchurched here with the transforming message of Christ. But that's not all. He has a real love for the people of Uganda and planting churches. And you'll hear about him share about his amazing exploits for the Lord in planting churches in Uganda. He's traveled there on an annual basis for nearly two decades and seen new churches growing continuously. He's an active member of the Rotary Club there at Rotary Club of Mililani Sunrise. His dear wife Martha is a counselor for kindergarten and first grade at Mililani Mauka Elementary School. She has her master's in education from the University of Virginia. Pastor Pete and Martha have two grown daughters, Katie and Carrie, and I'm blessed, and you are blessed, that he is with us in studio today. Pastor Pete, you're a dear friend. Welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's great to be here with you. I've looked forward to this.
You know, Pastor Pete, you've been around, and you've done many things. Even that alone in my introduction of you really is almost just like touching the tip of the iceberg. I know a little bit more, but then I know there's so much more to you and your life. But take us back. Tell us, you know, people in Hawaii, we always want to know, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the South, and I had a wonderful Christian family. My mom and dad had surrendered their lives to Jesus early on, and I was one of seven kids. I was right in the middle. And like any pastor's kid, I got in my share of mischief. But God seemed like from just early in my life to have his hand upon me. And so I lived in South Carolina, North mm-hmm. Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, mostly in the South. And as you mentioned, I went to King College. I majored in business and economics. And those were the days when I graduated, when the Vietnam War was going on. So I volunteered to go into the Army, and I had a good experience there, even though it was wartime. And it was during the Army, actually, that I surrendered my life to Christ. And I came to a place where I was living in Germany, and there were a lot of temptations there. And maybe should talk about it on the radio. A bunch of guys that were with me one night, they said, Pete, we're going out to prostitutes tonight, and we'll pay your way. And I thought about it, and I said no, and I went back to my room, and I prayed for them. And it was that night I decided, okay, you're at a crossroads here. You're going to either do what's right or wrong. No one's ever going to know but you out here. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad that the Lord had his hand upon me. And I think a lot of what my parents taught me as a kid came back to me. And so I finished my time in the military, came back, went to graduate school in psychology, thinking that, okay, I want to help people. And the more I read the Bible, the more I felt like it's God's word that gives us hope and gives us the answers. And it's the gospel that changes people's lives. And so basically I went to seminary the first year, and I thought, hey, this is great stuff. I can't wait to share it. So I stopped for about a year and a half or so and went down to Mexico as a missionary. And I got involved in church planting. I came back one summer, and my dad was planting a church. And I helped him. And it just got my feet wet, and the first opportunity I had really to go out on my own was here in Hawaii. So my wife and I came. I mean, we were as green as you can possibly be. And yet the Lord has blessed us, enriched our lives, and it's been a joy to be here now almost 35 years. And I know that you had some association with International. I remember Jim Cook said, hey, the average Hallie that comes here, I'm a Hallie, stays about 18 months and takes off. So I give God all the glory, and it's his grace that has kept me here through the years. And then a strange thing happened. I always wanted to be a missionary, and my plan was to stay here for 5 years. And after the fifth year, I loved Hawaii so much. And yet I wanted to do something, and going from Hawaii to teach missions or to be involved in missions. I made my first mission trip over to Africa, and then I've been going every year since. And I love that ministry, and I try to bring back some things that are good from Africa in terms of how to share the gospel, how to work with people, how to train people to work cross-culturally. And I feel like that I'm at the best spot in life right now. And I want to finish strong. I don't know, Danny, you're not that old yet, but you'll come to this place. I'm in my 60s, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I don't know how many years you're going to give me, but I want to be like Caleb. I want to serve you wholeheartedly. I don't want to mess up the last few years of the ministry. And so I'm just counting on Jesus to enable me to finish and to serve him until the very last day. In fact, I don't even think I believe in retirement. I read a book a couple years ago by John Piper, He's one of my heroes, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the book, Don't Waste Your Life. And I thought about it. What is more important than sharing the gospel around the world? And so I'm never going to retire and play shuffleboard or even golf every single day. I'm going to try to be faithful to the end, and you can pray for me in that regard.
Well, you know, you are certainly an inspiration and a role model to many people. And even by you saying those things, you know, beneath the layer even of the words that you say is the meaning of a meaningful life. People today are searching for fulfillment, you know, something beyond just the everyday thing that we are supposed to do. You work, you pay your bills, you raise a family, and then what? You know, what more is there? You know, the substance, there's a substantiality in the way that you're speaking. And it's not a young person that has these ideals that they're propping up, but you've lived through, you're living through, and that's why it's so meaningful to people of many ages, you know, to see the way that you've related with Christ. And I look at you, Pastor Pete, and I wonder, you know, somewhere along the line, you mentioned your parents and their influence, but who, it might be them, but who influenced you most in those growing up foundational years?
Well, you know, if you're a pastor's kid, and my dad was not only a pastor, he was a seminary professor and a dean of students at several colleges. You might think, well, it would naturally be the dad, because many people look at me and think I followed in his footsteps, but it was my mother. Hmm. And my, you know, Mother's Day's coming up. And by the way, to all your listeners, even today, don't forget about your mother. Mothers are powerful for good. Mm-hmm. And so my mother, from a very early age, taught me the Bible. And she taught Sunday school probably about 50 years. And she wrote 400 or 500 different songs and hymns. And she was one godly lady. I've never met anyone like her. And we lived out in the country. Next door to where we lived was an old chicken house. And she asked the owner, since he wasn't using it, could she turn it into a clubhouse for kids? Hmm. And this lady, I mean, even up to her 70s and into 80s, she would go out there and clean it all out, put a bell up on the roof, ring it, and kids would come from all over. And she worked with an organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think I first heard the gospel from her, just the wordless book, if any of your leaders are familiar with that. And I listened to Bible stories from her, and I know that God placed that in my heart. But there's another lady that impacted me in a powerful way. Where we lived, right down the road, there was a man who taught at the same school where my dad taught, and he died. And my dad asked me when I was about 11 or 12 years old, he said, well, would you be willing to go and sleep in this lady's basement? She's afraid. She's a widow. So I went there, and I thought it was going to be for 6 months. I ended up staying in that basement for about 5 years. And of all things, The lady had one son who was a missionary to Taiwan, and the basement was full of books about missions. And so as a little kid, what are you going to do, you know? I read and read books about missions, and that is how the Lord touched me through this widow and gave me a view of, here's a little kid out in the country, you know, hadn't been more than 50 miles from home at the point, but it was just amazing to me. And, of course, we had missionaries come to our church, and I can remember the first missionary to Africa. And then, you know, one thing that I would like your leaders, your listeners to know today, God is placing people in your life. And it may not be your mom or your dad or, you know, the widow next door, so to speak, but there's someone. And I encourage people to look for God. that he's not far from those who seek him. Mm-hmm. And he's a big God, and he's a powerful God. And he's working everything in your life for good. And I think, you know, in my life, there are many things that just didn't make sense at all growing up. Danny, you've had that experience where, you know, you fall over a cliff and everything else. And yet God brings glory out of it all. Mm-hmm. And I look at my life, so many things at one point or another, even in the military, I wondered, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. But now here I have a church right next to Schofield Barracks. Wow. And every week, and the same deal with counseling. God hasn't wasted anything.
You know, Pastor Pete speaks words of hope, words of encouragement. He's living it, and he is here from the Lord to remind me, to remind you that there is a purpose, there is a reason in God's big plan, but it's a customized plan even when it comes to you. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Pastor Pete. Pastor Pete is a church planter. I call him church planter extraordinaire. He's done it. He's blessed many people. He's really an entrepreneur for the Lord. And God has gifted him in multifaceted ways. He's going to share more with us. It's not just the gift, but the heart. That's a special thing. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Pastor Pete Anderson.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. We're here today with the featured guest. Our featured guest today is Pastor Pete Anderson. Pastor Pete is the senior pastor and founding pastor of Trinity Church, Central Oahu. He's a world traveler, and he goes far away. You know, he doesn't mess around. He's not just jumping from neighbor island to neighbor island. I mean, he goes far to the other side of the world, and he does it on a regular basis, all while being a senior pastor, all while teaching and ministering to his own flock here in these islands. But he's planting churches all over the world. Pastor Pete, you know, you came in 1977 with your wife Martha, and you planted a church on the windward side of Oahu. Tell us, how did that all begin?
Okay, I love to tell the story, and it's a story of how God is more glorified by very weak people. I came thinking I knew a lot about missions. You know, I had my degree from Westminster and had taken lots of courses in church planting. And I remember starting the church, and we met in an elementary school like so many churches start out here. And it seemed like things were going. After a few months, we had 75 people, and then about 90% of them got deployed in 1 week.
Ooh.
And we were down by Kahi Park and had a bunch of Marines going there. And so the Lord has his way, and I've noticed this with many pastors who come here, and maybe they had a gigantic church, and they come to Hawaii, and they try to introduce the same things they had on the mainland, and this isn't the mainland. And so it takes a certain determination, I think, and faithfulness to persevere. You may not be aware, but Hawaii's the third or fourth most unchurched state in America. We have a lot of religions here. But when you think of the Bible Belt and you think of the mainland, we're categorized with California, Washington, and Oregon in terms of a need that exists in the kingdom right now to plant more churches here. So for a number of years, we struggled. And like any church, we wanted to have a permanent facility. And one day, about a mile from where I lived, I drove by a piece of property and it had a for sale sign on it. And I went and looked at it, and it was just full of mosquitoes, and the guy had turned this beautiful house into a place to raise dogs. So I think he had 26 Irish setters. And no wonder no one ever bothered to bid on the places, because you got mosquito bitten and fleas when you went over there. But nevertheless, we purchased it. We only had 26 people in the church. And I can remember it was about $400,000, and we had to double our budget the next Sunday in order to make it work. But God blessed us. And, you know, there is such a thing as presumption, where you just jump out and you do something crazy and then you ask the Lord to bless it. But there's also a need to be faithful people and to take risks at times. And so we started out, and we did take a risk in a sense, but it was more faith than anything else. And God blessed us in a very special way. The very first year, we started a preschool. And then we started adding a grade a year. And I can remember my wife, she became the preschool director. And then later, she became the principal of the elementary school. And she would come to me and say, well, we need to take down this wall because we have more students. And we would tear down another wall. And then we started building classroom buildings and other things. And we have seen the school really grow. And even after I left that church and went over to Central Oahu, now I think they're pushing 300 students. And they have classes through the 12th grade. And I always love to go over to Kailua and see my friends and see the progress of the gospel there.
It's a beautiful facility, too.
It's a very nice facility.
And that was the mosquito-infested
Yes, it was. And people there would have no idea today. Oh. They might be embarrassed for me to bring it up. But that's how we got the place. God used fleas. And
There's a picture of redemption.
Yes, it is. It's a picture of redemption, of our lostness and deadness mm-hmm. without Christ, and then God making something beautiful out of it. And so over the years, we had a great experience there. We love Kailua, and people started coming from different parts of the island to the service on Sunday. And then a group here in Central Oahu came to me one day and said, Pastor Pete, we're getting tired of driving across the island. There are a lot of us. There's just one of you. Why don't you drive over early in the morning on Sunday morning, and we'll have church service early. And then you can drive back and preach. And so I did that for a few years. And that's how the second church got started. And then after we were in the it was a recreational center called Crestview Community Center. After we were there for just a little bit, we spun off another group and helped another church get started. And then eventually God, just through a miracle, provided a great place for us to look forward to building a building. And so we began to save, and we began to develop our ministries, and we began to dream of a second school. So we've now started Central Christian School, and we hope to continue to add a grade a year. We just have preschool and kindergarten right now. But we've seen God all through that work. Now, in the meantime, every church, you know, has its own unique things. When I started out as a young pastor, I was just thinking about us. You know, it's a selfish worldview. You know, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. But like so many people, we're just thinking about what we want and what we desire. And I thought I would just be in Kailua for many years. And then I began to develop a mentality that is more of a kingdom mentality. You know how Jesus says, seek first the kingdom mm-hmm. of God? Mm-hmm. And I began to put away thoughts about my church, my denomination, all of those things. And I began to think, how can I best serve the whole kingdom of God? And I developed a little theme in my mind, and it goes like this. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. And to me, the main thing is the gospel. And it's all about God's grace and his goodness. You know, a while ago you mentioned about hope. The gospel is the gospel of hope. We just went through the Easter season. What could bring a person more hope than to know that their leader rose from the dead, mm-hmm. that he has all mm-hmm. power in heaven and earth? Mm-hmm. And so anybody who rises from the dead, I want to listen to him. And the main thing, it seems like, for Jesus is to go into all the world and make disciples. And he doesn't just say, okay, go to simply your community. But I believe every person listening right now who's a believer has a niche in the kingdom of God where they can serve. Mm-hmm. So I began to put away thoughts of just what can we do in our church and what programs can we have, and think about the giftedness of people in the body of Christ that we're going to Trinity. And so we've had people on the board of Youth for Christ and Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we've had people go out as missionaries. And I think over the years about 25 guys and gals have gone to seminary from our church. Mm-hmm. And many of them end up in strange places working with all kinds of different people. I think one thing that has helped me, just to show you how God works, when I was in seminary, I wasn't married, and across the hall from me, there was a guy from Uganda. Mm. You know, this is 40 years ago. And his name was Kaifa Sumpangi. And Kaifa ended up, after being away from Uganda during the days of Idi Amin, who was a persecutor of Christians and wrecked that whole country, Kaifa ended up going back and becoming a member of parliament in Uganda, and an evangelist and a church planter. And they put him in charge of all of the orphan work in the country. And Uganda has 2 million orphans. So as I began to think about what is God doing in my life, I saw that as God's leading me to go and talk to Kaifa again. And that was my first mission trip where I just took a few people with me. Wow. And since then, we've taken many people from your organization and others. Mm-hmm. And God has really blessed in the planting of 15 or 16 churches there.
You know, Pastor Pete, when we come back, I'd like for you to share with us about missions. I mean, the churches that are being planted in Uganda, and the way that you're planting, your mode of operation is quite unique. We talk about the message of hope, but you're building hope too. So there's a physical manifestation of hope in the way that things are constructed, and the ministry of hope in Christ is being spread out quickly. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Pastor Pete.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Pete Anderson. Pastor Pete's been sharing about the amazing things God has done in his growing up years, things that God has done while he was in the military, while he was in Mexico, and then in seminary, and then how he was led back here to Hawaii, led to Hawaii in 1977, planted Trinity Windward Church, and then it became part of it, you know, branched off, and of course they have a school, Trinity Christian School, and now at Trinity Central Oahu. You know, when many pastors, in a very natural way, would probably like to sit comfortable in the church that they were growing, some guys have a sense of desire and willingness to even go beyond that, and he certainly has. But not only Central Oahu, he's been going to the other side of the world, in the continent of Africa, in the nation of Uganda, from as long as I've known him, and he's been going every single year. What's it like to go from Hawaii to Seattle, then fly over? He probably does the Arctic route and ends up in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, the Schiphol Airport, I think one of the most beautiful airports, and then from there into Africa, into Uganda. Pastor Pete, you've been going. Tell us what's it been like. Why? Okay, you talked about Kefa Sampangi.
Yes.
But what was it in you, besides reading those books about Taiwan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a young boy.
Right.
why Uganda? And what is it that has driven you with such passion to keep going back?
I guess I'm like an addict. I went the first time, and I got the full dose, and I saw the power of the gospel like I'd never seen it before. I think all of us are curious about what is God doing in the world. And I never had experienced revivals. I never had been in a place. You know, every pastor should experience this, where you have to stand up and say on Sunday morning, okay, all of you that are Christians have to leave, because we have so many non-Christians today, we want all of them to hear the gospel for the first time. Hmm. That's a great privilege. I've talked to people who have been one generation away from being cannibals. I've spoken to people who have never seen a book. I remember once trying to share the gospel with someone, and they were fascinated with what was the Bible, but they had never seen a Bible, and they hadn't seen a book either. And so to be able to share in that context, I always feel like it's a great honor and a privilege, and I come back and I'm more blessed than the people that I go and see, I think. Hmm. And it just fires me up to see what God does, that He is the God who does more than we can ask or think or imagine. And so it's not like anyone ever has to force me to get on the airplane. Hmm. I'm excited about being there and meeting friends. And over the years, I have more friends, I think, in Africa than I do in America. And right now, through our radio station, we have an ongoing ministry. We have a small hospital that helps a lot of people every year. And so I always like to go and visit the staff there. We're starting a Redeemer Radio in western Uganda. We have a Kapchora Trinity Radio in eastern Uganda. So those types of things take a little bit of management. So I go there. Mm-hmm. But largely, to answer your question, and why I go, it's because Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And what I want your listeners to know is that everyone can do it by the grace of God. And there's a place. You can be a goer. You can be a sender. You can be a prayer warrior. You can get involved in missions right here in Hawaii. But we're all missionaries. We like to say we have a missionary God. He sent His missionary son. And then His missionary son sends us out on a mission as well.
Now, before we go into the way that you actually do it, which I think is quite fascinating, and the way, the longevity by which you have continued to do it, I think it's a great model. But now, just so that people don't think it's been a cakewalk for the last couple of decades or so, and that you haven't hit some bumps along the way, maybe we can talk a little bit about some highlights. But there is a special young man that, well, he's now in his 20s, right?
Yes.
And you met him when he was much younger, and he was literally had his life was in jeopardy in regards to what his parents were planning to do with him. I want to share a little bit about
Yes,
that.
I would love to share about this young man, because he's my adopted son. His name is Herbert, and I met Herbert when he was just a little kid. He looked like he was about 12 years old. I think he was actually 14 or 15 years old. And he grew up in a home where he had two mothers, and one was a witch. And he had a little sister named Katie. And Katie heard the parents scheming one day that they were going to cut Herbert's head off. And they were going to pour his blood on the four corners of their house, and they thought somehow that that was going to bless their home. So when Herbert found out about this, he didn't think it was a good idea at all. And so, as we say in the South, he hightailed it out of there. And I met him as a little kid just walking down the road, and he was listening as I would preach in one place and another. And after following me for a week, I became friends with him, and I thought, well, what am I going to do with Herbert now? He can't go back to his parents.
He told you the story, right?
Yeah, he told me all about it, and, you know, I investigated a little bit, and sure enough, that was sort of the custom that was there. And so we helped start an orphanage, a small orphanage, and it grew eventually to 76 children. And then we helped start a Christian school, and that school has just ballooned where I hardly know anything that goes on from day to day about it. But it does have 1,200 students now, and about half of those are boarding students. So God has blessed that work. But Herbert, I am so proud of this young man, and it just shows you that God is a providential God. He's working everything in unique ways. When I met Herbert, I didn't think he had very much education, but as it turned out, he was a very sharp student. And he was able to speak five different languages. And as a person who liked to travel around Uganda, what is better than to have an interpreter that speaks five languages? And so Herbert grew up in the orphanage, in the Christian school that we were able to help start. And the only book he had really was the Bible. I gave him a study Bible the first year, and he started reading it, and his English got better and better. And eventually I sent him out and to Uganda with copies of the Jesus film in lots of different languages, and he would show those from place to place. And just like Danny, he became an evangelist. And even now he goes throughout the country sharing the gospel. He's preached up to 50,000 people at one time.
Wow.
So I just look at him and I'm amazed. Now he's he ran for an office in the political system there. He was just elected. And he runs one of our orphanages. And God took him really just from the close to being killed and raised him up and has honored him and blessed him in so many ways. And so now he represents me when I'm away. He is a wonderful preacher. If you want to find him on Facebook, just type in Children of Grace or Herbert Anderson. You can see his picture there and some of the things that he's involved in. He's involved in reconciliation ministries. If you know anything about Africa, you can't understand Africa until you understand tribalism. You know, you ask me, what are some of the things that have happened in Africa? People that look exactly alike to you and me, they're not exactly alike to Africans. An African can look and know which one of these 50 tribes does this person belong to. And some of these people have been squabbling with each other for more than 1,000 years, these tribes. And so the initial group that I worked with were cattle rustlers. And they were proud of it. They were good cattle rustlers, they thought. And then I've seen the gospel just completely transform them. And, you know, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ. So even now, it's very hard to go there just the first time and think that you understand what's going on. You wanted to know, well, how in the world do we start churches in a place where there are 50 different languages and dialects and tribes? Well, it's an opportunity because, you know, when Jesus gives us the Great Commission, he says to go to all the people groups. You know, the word nations there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It talks about, you know, go make disciples of the nations. Those are the people groups. And so we've picked out two people groups in Uganda to work with. The first group were these cattle rustlers, the Sabin people. And then later we started working with the Acholi people. So in order to minister to people who are going to speak the Sabin language, one of the first things in terms of our methodology is to find men that are capable of becoming really good and faithful pastors. So when I'm thinking about planning a church, I have to plan 4 or 5 years down the road. So right now, for example, I have 8 men that were our church sponsors in seminary, and they're going to be, we trust, our future pastors and Christian workers. So eventually, we started working in an area in northeast Uganda called Kapchorwa. It's a mountainous region. It's a region where there are very few paved roads. There are clans there. There are a lot of poverty. So one of the first things we did, we started a small clinic. And each year, we bring medicine. We bring medical instruments and other things to help. And so all of the time when we go, we're not just a word ministry, we're a deed ministry. We put those two things together.
You know, that's one of the things that I appreciate of what you do, and the one of the things is why you're so effective, because it's more than just, you know, going in. You're going in not just dictating what you want to do. You're going in observing what the needs are, how can we most effectively and strategically meet those needs, and then bring the ministry of the message of the gospel in. You know, Pastor Pete has a way of planting churches. He's getting into it. And when we come back from our break, he's going to go into more details about it. Now, as you listen to the show, you might be thinking, he talks about Jesus a lot, the gospel, redemption. I need to find out more about this. You want to find out more of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go ahead and visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have a tab there. You can just go ahead and click on that. thegoodlifehawaii.org. But when we come back, you're going to hear more from Pastor Pete Anderson. So stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Pete Anderson. It's been a great time of sharing and listening and learning. If you want to find out more, you can hear more at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can also find our church partners, those churches that stand with us, partner with us, as well as some other corporate sponsors, corporate partners that we have. You know, we're interested in the good life. It's about your spiritual life, of course, but life as a whole. Other businesses and other churches, you know, it all helps to enrich your life. We're talking about missions now in Uganda. Pastor Pete, you plant churches, and when you plant churches, you buy land, you build church structures, you build parsonages, you build water supply systems, you build places for cattle and livestock. I mean, it's an incredible. So when the church starts, the infrastructure is already in place. Plus, you're training the pastors. How did you come up with that modus operandi?
I think by making a lot of mistakes. But over the years, you learn from your mistakes, and you talk to missionaries that are there on the field. You get a better understanding of the country and the cultures that are represented, and you need to go into it with a real prayerful spirit and a real willingness to learn more every single year, and a desire not to be a hit and miss type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned, okay, the churches that we want to start 4 years from now, we're already working with the pastors. In the months that lead up to the time before we take a group from Hawaii or the East Coast to Uganda, we send the pastor there early to live in that community, to meet with the leaders of the community, to talk to tribal chiefs, to understand what the needs of the people there, so that when we come, often we've been welcomed by throngs of people on either side of the road, yelling and screaming, excited that we're coming. Then when we're finally there, we have a school of evangelism for those that are going to help us. We have training even before we leave. We have a crusade every night. We invite everyone, and sometimes hundreds, even up to 1,000 people might come. And we're leading up to the first service. So think about it. If you have 20 people and they go out and they visit 5 huts a day, and you do that sometimes for a couple of weeks, you can visit a lot of people in a community. And the word begins to get out, and they hear the music in the evening, and they come to the crusade. And by the time the Sunday comes for you to open up the new church, there's an excitement in the community. And so they know that the equivalent of the mayor will be there, the governor will be there. We're announcing what we're doing on the radio, and the radio is loved by the people. It's how they communicate.
Do they have TV?
No, they don't have much TV.
So that's like their form of
information. I mean, they love it. You know, in fact, the president, Museveni of Uganda, when he needs to communicate with his people, he comes to our radio station. And so we've had great opportunities. The word gets out, and we pray for maybe 500 to 1,000 people, depending the size of the village, to come to the very first service. And we have the pastor that's there. We introduce him, and by then, most people in the community have gotten to know him. Introduce the leaders of the community. We give them an opportunity to speak. We go around and talk to all the pastors in the area, if there is a church in that area. We want to work with all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. So we're not just in it for, okay, 2 weeks and then we're gone. After we're gone, the pastors that I have, they stay and they fast and pray for about a week. And they follow up on everyone who went to the crusade. And they help the new pastor get established. Later on, they go back and visit him. And that way, you have someone who's a young believer, and they're able to get solidified in the Christian faith. And they're even the first Sunday, sometimes the first Sunday, we'll already have a choir. We'll already have a Sunday school. You know, we've had Sunday schools the first week, 600 kids. We're all prepared for them. And so God is doing a great work there, and they're encouraged that someone from another country comes. Yes, we're sort of a novelty item. They come to see us because we're the only white people some of them have ever seen. But God even uses that. And God uses so many people. We were in the break a while ago speaking of a lady who went with me a couple of years, Yasuko. And she works with JCCY as well. And she's an elderly lady. She's a retired nurse, but she has a wonderful ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that Danny's group would come, the last year they sent with us three nurses, I think it was, and Bernie Vitting was there. And we would treat hundreds of people. Well, you can imagine, where are they going to go to church on Sunday? I've even had Muslims say to me, you know, I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. The Muslims really didn't do anything for us in this community. You know, I want to be a Christian. And that excites me. One leader of the mosque in one town, a town called Kasarim, basically just left his mosque and said, hey, I want to follow Jesus Christ.
Pastor Pete, somebody listening says, you know, man, this is incredible. How do I want to find out more. Is there somewhere I can go? Is there a website that I can go and check out? A Facebook page? How can somebody get in touch with you and get more information about what you're doing?
Well, you can go to the web, and you can go to trinitycentraloahu.org, and there's a Uganda page, and we have a ministry going on in the Philippines right now, so you can find out about that. But there's a record there of some of the ministries that we've started, and I think there are pictures of various churches and the orphanages and whatnot. And the other thing is that we love to take people with us. Mm-hmm. Out of all these years, there's no one that I've ever taken who at the end of the trip said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to go to that. I shouldn't have gone.
In fact, you have people that want to go back.
Yes, we have.
And they want to go back with a passion. It's a marvel to see what happens. Now, Pastor Pete, from the time you started till now, how many churches using this model, how many churches have you planted thus far?
We have 16, but we've done something else, just like what we're doing here on Oahu. We believe in partnerships. Mm-hmm. And occasionally you meet someone who you know has the gifts to be a church planter. He's like a Timothy. And so one of those men was Kepha. Kepha retired from politics and committed to start 10 churches. And so we got him, and then we don't want to ever just start one little church in an area. Our hope is to start groups of 10. And so we have another fellow up in the north who's working with us in a place called Gulu. It's a second largest city in Uganda. It's a place where there are 100,000 orphans in the one town. And so we've planted already, with the Lord's blessing, 2 churches there, and we need to start 8 more churches there. And so part of what we're trying to do is to develop a model that we can share with other people who are gifted, and it could be just a church here on Oahu who says, okay, we want to have a long-term ministry. We don't want to just send out a bunch of kids and they're like tourists. We want to make a difference for the kingdom. And so we take those out initially, and then we pray for them and give them the resources and the tools to do the same thing. And it gives us great joy. Even on Oahu, we have partner churches, about 35. And we teach a course called Kairos, which is a missionary training program. Gives you the history of missions, and it's a 9-week course. And each of the 9 weeks, people come to the church for 3 hours. We start usually a new program every month or every 6 weeks. So those are some opportunities.
Amazing opportunities from Pastor Pete Anderson and his amazing ministry in Uganda, as well as here in these islands. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be ready in season and out of season. He's been doing that. You can too. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Pastor Pete Anderson. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.